Twisted Roots by A.G. Parker. Read by A.G. Parker. Chapter 1. Something stirred in the moonless night. It wriggled and crept and devoured. The feeble breeze bore no tender scent of the dying summer. Only the stench of death, wrought rank in mist, pervaded the lungs of the earth. The stagnant air trembled, disturbed by the beat of the blackest of hearts. From your bed, on the edge of dreams, you heard the tree screaming your name, and you waited. High above the parched ravines of sun-baked earth, in the shadowed recesses of the oak, Layla watched. The carnival had arrived only moments before, yet already the fields heaved with red-striped canvases and great, aging lorries, lumbering behemoths stained with curling paint. Layla steadied herself in her perch in the oak's upper limbs, pressing her back and bare toes into the gnarled crevices of the bark as she licked and smoothed the cigarette paper, and cast her eye past long-fingered branches to the movement on the outskirts of the village. She flicked her Zippo and let the cigarette burn, savouring the harshness of the smoke as she drew it in. "Fire stick, please, Lady Lay." She passed the lighter silently to Jacob, stretching slightly downward to meet his hand, and scanned the scene for exotic strangers doused in magic, for mystery revealed between the flaking paint. But the carnival folk stayed hidden behind their trucks and equipment, showing themselves only as bobbing scaffolding and the rickety frames of rides. "Looking out for triple-titted women. Fuck off, Jacob." "True though, isn't it?" he cackled below. "Well, I already know where the world's ugliest dog boy is." She smirked at Jacob, poking his cheek with one of her toes. "You ask the lovely Laura to come tomorrow." "I've asked Sam," she winked. Jacob's eyes narrowed and his brows knitted under his auburn curls. "You're not going to drop this, are you?" "Ha, no, not until you two drive off into the sunset, your head on his skinny shoulder." Jacob growled beneath her, but Layla saw the burning red in his cheeks. In the distance, the church bells struck six. Jacob pitched his cigarette dangerously close to a dried-out tangle of blackberries and sighed. "Speaking of which, I better get going. Dad'll be home soon, my favourite time of day. See you tomorrow. Wear something pretty." Jacob flipped a solitary finger in return. "See ya." Layla stayed where she was, alone amongst the barely moving boughs clad with sunlit leaves, feeling the weight of the evening take hold of the sky. She watched out of narrowed eyes as Jacob shimmied over the stone wall that separated their gardens, knowing he'd be lucky to get the smell of smoke out of his fingers and hair before his dad came home, knowing that he'd do the same thing tomorrow and the next day, repercussions aside. As the village lulled into the quieter hours, the carnival kept its steady progression. Only when she could hear the steady rumble of her own father's van, she allowed herself one last drag and a lingering glance at the cherry-swelled tarpaulins and clambered groundward. She did not see the distant eyes watching intently back. Sleep took Layla far from the safety of her bed in her father's house. Just as she had the night before every birthday, she dreamed of the tree. Now, on the eve of her 15th birthday, it rose above her, its pale, twisted trunk a pained monument on the dead black earth. A body writhing in agony, spine bent and arched towards a bleak and cloud-shrouded sky. There were no leaves on its limbs. The air around didn't stir. Nothing breathed and Layla's lungs ached as she tried to keep her fear silent. Each year the tree grew, until now it towered above her, humming with a deadly intensity that, when she tried to describe it, even to Jacob, found she could not. Her father, so distracted in recent years, seemed increasingly to struggle to reset his face into that of a man celebrating her birthday, and not the one marking the anniversary of a painful death. And so the dream and its horror were bound to her in secrecy. The tree's voice, its non-voice, remained the same. It emanated from somewhere within the twisted limbs, channeled through roots or earth or air. Layla didn't know. But this year, as every year before, it struck the same point inside her skull, scratching at her brain, a half-numb, painful pleading that she couldn't shut out. "Help," it trembled. Each year it begged, and each year Layla was too afraid to answer. "Help. Help me." This time, for a moment, she stood transfixed. And then, summoning the courage not to run, not to fight, but to stand and face her terror, she turned to the skeletal tree. "How?" Her voice shook, but she forced the words into the air. "How can I help?" And the reply, thrumming inside her head like insidious machinery, came low and dreadful. "Let me eat you up." Great roiling bursts of mist amassed at the roots of the tree, creeping out across the earth toward her, the tree's voice buzzing inside her head. Layla ran, dream slow and stumbling. She fled the woods, scrambling through undergrowth and brambles until she found a familiar path. Tangled knots of brambles clawed her skin. Branches and ditches threatened to trip her, but then she was through the trees, out into the pale pre-dawn. Her house was ahead, but changed somehow, the thatching sturdier, fresher. She darted to the kitchen door, hoping to find her father, for him to hold her, protect her, but the door stayed firm against her banging fists, and the mist rolled onward from the tree line, swallowing vast chunks of land in its ever-churning grey. She left the boundary of their land, running to the village on paths where walls should have been and across greens that didn't exist. There were no cars, no sign of the world she knew, save for the vague shapes of the landscape she'd grown up with. And then it was daybreak. Layla stole a glance behind her. Nothing. She scrutinised the cracks and corners of the fields around her, but the mist was gone. No evil pursued her. She wandered, dazed, into the village. There was no church spire that watched over the abandoned green, no cars parked up on the streets, no teenagers swinging cider from cans behind the newsagents, no circus tents lining the fields. But it was her village, she knew, and she knew she'd been there at that moment in time. Before. Fog hung low over the ground, although it was different from the clouds that had hounded her, and as the sun rose, it cleared. As it lifted, it exposed piles of dead, their features contorted, their final stories carved in the lines of their broken bones and torn skin. Layla flinched, but didn't look away, and she found herself joining those tending to the dead. The elders. The thought rose from nowhere. She watched her fingers as they stirred in strange yet familiar movements, drawing sigils on the air, echoed rituals from a previous life. She felt as though she were retracing history with her hands, that with every motion she were casting herself back into this other version of her, her body bound to a set of previously ordained movements. And then, obedient to the past, she followed the others as they left the dead and sought vengeance. They'd tracked the witch across continents, following trails of blood and fear, and so it was with ease they stalked her final path through the woods. They found her wrapped in the skin of the village guardian, swathed in the bloody hide as though it were the furs of an animal. The witch grinned out from beneath its ragged edges, her pointed teeth shining white amongst the angled peaks and hollows of her blood-smeared face. The witch did not try to run. She was compliant as they cut out her tongue. The elders dragged her deeper into the woods and knotted her to a yew's twisted trunk. When they were done, the elders returned to the village and lit the funeral pyres to put their dead to rest. Layla listened to the steady crackle and spit of the blaze as it seared up into the indigo sky, filling the air until there was nothing left but ashes. Her dream, the vision of a moment long behind her, died with the fires, and on the edge of reality in the house that stood between the village and its guardian secrets, Layla felt something deeply interred slip from the earth and bleed into the night. She shuddered under the covers, tightening the sweat-soaked fabric around her, and tried to laugh at her irrational fear that the tree, the witch, was somehow making their way from her dream into the waking world. Instinctively, she reached for her tobacco pouch and rolled and lit a cigarette, blowing smoke from her window into the night and not caring about the bollocking she'd get in the morning. Who could care about the future when the past seemed to clutch at her skin? She rolled over, and under the dim starlight, her fumbling fingers retrieved a photograph from the bedside table. As she comforted herself with each drag, she studied its time-dulled lines, and at last she fell asleep, her breath soft against the cheek of her mother's faded colours. Sam was practically vibrating. Oh, I can't wait for the dodgems. Shut up, Sam. Layla gets to pick. It's her birthday. Jacob elbowed Sam in his ribs and the boys made a show of throwing punches at each other. But the fight, as ever, resulted in a headlock sort of move that was more embrace than grapple. This time it was Sam's turn to come out on top, which he did, panting and pinning Jacob's head under his arm. Layla knew as well as anyone did, if it ever came to an actual fight, Sam wouldn't stand a chance. Luckily for him, Jacob had no interest in fighting him. What do you want to go on next, Lady Lay? The carnival looked different from this angle. They'd wandered past the ticket desk and under an archway of paint and chipboard, dodging chalk-white faces, twisting balloons and stilt-shod jugglers who leered down from under their hats of crumpled velvet, then slipped out of the rush to observe their surroundings. The vast chaos and anonymity brought a sense of familiarity and peace. She felt at once lost and at home, as though she could wander untroubled through its throngs and madness, untouched in the eye of the storm. It was as though a giant jack-in-the-box had sprung open and each component had leapt apart from its comrades. From there, they'd hit the stalls, Jacob winning a stuffed giraffe he'd subsequently pretended was lame and thrown at Sam. Sam clutched it tenderly. They'd hoarsened their voices on the rickety roller coaster and spinning teacups and stumbled from the metal steps with the world shaking around them. Another year and perhaps it wouldn't hold this appeal. Already, Layla felt it slipping, but it was this fading of interest that made it even more bewitching, as though her childhood were giving her one final blazing send-off. She looked around until her eye alighted on a ride across from where they stood. "That," she said. Sam flinched as he spotted the giant silhouette of the ghost train looming behind him, the jaws of some undead monster opening and closing mechanically above his head. His sallow face blanched, his fear leaching further colour from his already pale cheeks, so that his skin melted into his white blonde hair. He looked wraith-like in the sunlight. The only contrast was a raw brown scar that ran from his left temple to his ear. Jacob laughed and prodded the accentuated mark. "Scared?" he said. "Only because of what happened last time," Sam mumbled, fingering his scar. "Ah, Sam, we'll look after you." Layla winked at Jacob. "Fine. In the absence of any firm decision, how about a smoke while we decide?" Jacob said, eyebrow raised. Sam groaned. Layla flashed a grin. "Quick one. We've got to meet my dad soon." "Ah, Elliot will be fine if we're a bit late." Layla shook her head. "You know what he's like this time of year. Better not stress him out." They slunk out of the crowd, sheltering themselves between caravans and scaffolding. Layla caught Jacob by the wrist and pulled his ear to her mouth. "You and Sam are almost unbearably cute, you know." Jacob's face transfigured as his head snapped from Layla to Sam, checking if they'd been overheard. "As if he doesn't know," she laughed. He cleared his throat and glared at Layla. "Fuck off," he whispered. And loudly, "Nicked these off my dad." Layla squatted next to the others. "Aren't you worried he's going to figure out you've been pinching them?" Jacob shook his head and snorted. "Not likely. He was so drunk last night he could barely get up the stairs. He'll think he got so blind he lost him." He shrugged and his face changed, shifting into the squinting eyes of a drunk. "Eh, Leslie," he drawled, staggering over to Layla with his finger prod ready in her face. "You been taking my cigarettes again, eh? Do you need a lesson from my belt?" He mimed, removing his belt from his waist, and then, as his drunk father tripped over his own feet and spun into Sam, "Oh, Jakey boy, looks like a lesson for you instead. Where's your manners, boy?" Sam pushed him away, laughing weakly. Layla readied herself to step in and defuse the situation. She knew Jacob couldn't help himself, that this was his way of dealing, but she wanted a day, one day where he and Sam and her could just relax. She paused mid-roll. The bottle green roof of the fortune teller's caravan had caught her attention. Atop the steps, the door's curtain fluttered. She licked and smoothed the paper and tucked it behind her ear. "Anyone fancy hearing their fortune?" Jacob followed her gaze and rolled his eyes. "Oh, God, Lay, no, that's so lame." "Yeah," said Sam. He glanced sidelong at the caravan and shifted his weight towards it. "Lame." Jacob sighed and his face puckered into a grimace underneath his curls. "You could, you know, just come along for a laugh." Sam shifted from foot to foot, watching Jacob. Jacob wavered, but something in him was immovable. He pinched the unfinished cigarette from Layla's fingers. Nah, you two go on, I'll see you in a bit. He kicked his foot against the scaffolding, clanging loose metal against metal, and flicked the lighter, his dark auburn catching hints of the flame. Layla raised an eyebrow at Sam, who let her lead him through the ever-moving horde to the base of the crooked wooden steps, where his confidence faltered. Isn't it time to go meet your dad? Not yet, she called, already making her way upward and waving for Sam to follow. Sam looked around in desperation for Jacob, only to find him eaten up by the carnival, and Layla disappearing into a flurry of lace and pungent aromas. He sprinted up the steps behind her, just as a veined hand was pushing the door closed. Inside, the scents were stifling. Sickly sweet roared over the undertones of acrid sweat and mouldering fabric. Sam had to fold himself almost double to avoid pendants and bundled herbs and lanterns that hung from the low ceiling. Lay, I'm not sure. Black eyes turned their glittering focus to Sam, and a mirthless chuckle escaped the shadows. Knowing the script won't change the story, my love. The black beads seemed to burn where they lingered, looking Sam up and down. The fortune teller frowned. Much as you may wish for a different outcome. Lay, I've changed my mind. I'm not into this anymore. I think we should go. The fortune teller's eyes narrowed and she reached for Sam's hand. He drew back sharply, knocking something from the wall that broke with tinkling laughter. Sam, what's wrong? Sam stumbled backward, reaching for the door with hands it seemed he feared might betray him and reveal a future too short, too painful, too filled with horror. Layla struggled to her feet. Sam, wait! You'll have to pay, my love. We all do eventually. Layla pushed the old woman aside and followed Sam out into the too bright sunlight, ushering him down the steps. She spoke calmly, deliberately. Come on, let's find Jacob. The fortune teller grabbed Layla's hand. The fee, girl. Layla felt her face flush and yanked herself free from the fortune teller's grasp. He didn't mean to break your whatever. And if I remember rightly, you didn't read either of our fortunes. You just scared him. And I'm not paying you for that. Come on, Sam. Layla pulled him into the noise of the carnival, Sam stuttering a half apology over his shoulder. Well, that was a fucking waste of time. We should go meet. The fortune teller's voice rang shrill across the field, calling for help, for Layla and Sam to be stopped. Oh, for Christ's sake. Layla rolled her eyes, then turned to Sam and grinned. Guess we better leg it. Lay, no, wait. But she'd gone. Excitement burning through her as she ran. She kept running through the ache in her side. She sped past the blare and carnage of the carnival until the trimmed blades of the village green turned to tufts and tangle of wild grass. She ducked behind the ruins of the old bell tower, a lonely sentinel between the village and the wilds of the east. This was her playground. She knew the land here better than anyone except, perhaps, Jacob. And so she knew she was safe. She could relax. She squatted in the long grass, breathing in its scent. Sam? Layla panted, peering around one crumbling stone corner, but the meadow was empty. Fuck! He'd have been caught. He'd never been much good at outrunning danger. She cursed having to eventually return and hoped that by then, those looking for her would have found other things to occupy their attention. Something besides Sam. Layla leant against the tower and pulled her tobacco from her pocket. Something flickered in the corner of her vision, and for a moment she turned to stare into the heights of the tower where once a bell had been, but now only shadows hung. The sun spun golden fingers around its edges and across the meadow, but the recesses behind the dilapidated stone remained cool and dark. Idly, she began to roll. Suddenly, a blotch of darkness broke from the belfry and swooped onto the grass. Layla scrambled back, ready to run again, but held still when she saw what had startled her. She would have laughed, but some instinct in her made her freeze instead. The crow shuffled its wings. It stared silently. She'd grown up with creatures of the woods and wilds, but now she felt irrational panic. This crow made her feel something. Dread, perhaps? And while it chilled her flesh to look at it, she couldn't drag her eyes away. The crow cawed, a loud refrain that shocked the hazy day and seemed to Layla potent with urgency. Keeping her eyes on its ice-white gaze, she shuffled back to the cool stone. Her fingertips found the corner of the tower, and just as she began edging away, the crow blinked and launched itself, screaming at her. It consumed her vision with its dark, roiling shadows, and Layla shrank back from its shrieking beak, its hooked talons, and then its wings skimmed the hairs on her arm as it darted upward at the last moment. She stared after it, her legs unsteady beneath her as it wheeled beyond the tower and into the sky, until only a brief sliver of violet glinted, and then the crow was gone. Layla exhaled, leaning into the stone, heart hammering in her chest. She waited until her breathing calmed, then picked up the tobacco and turned to head back to her friends, to her father. She didn't make it far before her skin prickled and panic returned. Bells, clear and baleful, sounded from the hollow tower above her. She looked up, knowing the bell tower was empty, wishing it wasn't so that the sound she was hearing would make sense. But there was nothing to see. An invisible hammer struck an unseen bell, the clang reverberating around the vacant belfry. There was no way the sound could be coming from elsewhere, and no way it could be coming from where Layla was staring. Her mind reeled, trying to understand what was happening. Her thoughts skittered around, unable to fix on reality, and so she missed the shadow that bloomed on the meadow beside her, its appearance like a starless midnight. It spilled across the grass, silent and rapid. Another crow? No. By the time she caught its slinking movement, it was too late. She saw the shadow take hold of her arm and felt a touch like winter. As she turned to watch, forcing her gaze along the frost-cold fingertips up the shadowy arm, it became solid, flesh-coloured, person-shaped. She knew the lines of those lips. She knew those eyes. Her eyes. Layla watched anguish flutter across the familiar face and her heart thrashed against her ribcage. Her breath caught as she tried to speak. Mum? Elliot had gone to meet Layla and Jacob and Sam at the carnival. That much he knew. But then he felt as though he'd blacked out. And now it felt like nothing else had existed before that moment. The moment he'd found the body. That everything leading up to that point had been a dream, and that now he was awake, jolted and hard-edged and staring death in the face as it kicked and jerked its way through the fragile figure in front of him. This is what life is. The limb of the tree from which she swung brought her feet within reach of Elliot's arms. Who are you? He wanted to say, and then a lever flipped inside him and he grabbed the woman's calves, trying to take her weight, trying to push her upward. He yelled, shouting in a guttural language that he hardly recognised. Gravity seemed to conspire. He couldn't keep her upright. Her torso kept falling, her knees buckling. Her body flopped and bent in the middle, at the knees, waist. She became a twisting ornament, her jutted spin punctuated by Elliot's desperate fumbled grasp. He felt the muscles in his shoulders burn and cramp and fight him for control. Someone help. The sun beat down on his neck. Sweat trickled. Birds sang. The tattooed back of a ride showed at brief intervals a swinging capsule filled with screaming fairgoers. Tinny music mixed with the sounds of summer and childish triumph. The quiet pocket of the world in which he and the lurching corpse danced seemed to exist to none but themselves. He wanted to ask her what he should do. Would she mind if he let go? Thudding feet ran to him. He felt the weight of the woman taken from him and his arms flopped to the sides. A dark figure shimmied up the tree with a knife clamped between their teeth, while another, all ribbons and colours, held her legs as the rope that bound her neck was cut and she dropped like a rag doll into their arms. A rough face peered into his. The man from the carnival pulled at his arm and snapped nicotine-stained fingers in front of his eyes, but Elliot couldn't hear the sound, couldn't move. And then he was being led away, given sips of water, talked to in quiet tones. Layla, he stammered. His eyes came back to him and he focused. He mumbled at the carnival man and left the blanket in a heap on the chair and went to find his daughter. Layla's mother staggered forward, pressing her cold, undead body against her. She was no longer shadow. She was real and trembling and clutching at Layla. wide eyes, desperate touch, flesh against flesh. Layla, you have to stop her. Mum? That was all she could do. Repeat. Mum? Mum? The voice wasn't as she'd imagined. Her mother's arms weren't the comfort for which she'd yearned. Mother and daughter crumpled against the tower. Layla wanted to cry, to scream, to be held. Nothing came out. She pushed the revenant away, stumbling as she tried to run, but one bitter cold hand held her firm. There isn't time. Her mother's eyes were locked onto hers, anxious, insistent. I didn't want this for you. I tried to... But there's no other way. You have to stop her. You must find the ancient place beyond the veil. Listen for the drums. Take the ash from our fire and cast it into the hearth. Find me here under the next new moon. Mum, I don't understand. I... From beyond the smattering of trees on the meadow's edge, the bells from the village church began to strike three. Their first toll loosened the flesh. Layla felt her mother's grip weaken and she saw the panic in her eyes. Layla, I love you. Mum, what's happening? Wait, who do I have to stop? Layla grappled at her mother's body, now no more than a wavering cloud. The second toll let the sunlight burn through the shadow, and Layla buried her face in her mother's hair, inhaling its swarm of jasmine and incense, desperate to keep her close even as she turned transparent. The witch! You must stop the witch! The third bell left Layla alone in the meadow, clinging to the ruins of the bell tower beneath the stark sun that allowed for no shadows, ghosts, or comfort. Layla wasn't sure how much longer she stayed, swaying between the logic of reality and the truth she had seen. The present seeped slowly back in. Tinny songs of rides, the sounds of the carnival, rose and dragged Layla out of her head. Sluggish, it took her a while to realise a shift had taken place. The human sounds, squeals and peals of laughter, chattering, whooping, that peaked and dipped over the cheerful lilt of the fairground music had morphed into screams, terror-edged and panicked. The carnival now resounded with bloody discord and it swept like a wave from one unseen epicentre outward, horror rippling across the village. Layla's eyes flicked back to the place where her mother had been, but nothing stirred. Sirens called out from a distance, and Layla's attention snapped back to the carnival. She pulled at her heavy limbs, urging them to speed over the dense grass until she was at the fencing. She slipped through and into the carnival. Panic ruled. All about her, parents screamed for their children, who hid or stumbled or planted themselves in the crowds and wailed at the sun. Layla! Elliot's arm swept her close into him. Stay close, love. We need to go. Jacob led them through the crowds. We can get through here. Avoid the worst of it. Elliot nodded. They followed close behind Jacob, Elliot never releasing his grip on Layla's damp palm, and Sam, roughed up and hangdog, trailed after them. They passed through the roped boundary around the carnival and headed for home. As she craned her neck, Layla caught sight of a deluge of people, held off from a centre point like a gathered circle, kept at once at bay and drawn close by the heat of a fire. Don't look, love. Come on. Elliot's voice was gruff, his mouth a grim, pinched line, and she let herself be led. As they rounded the bend for home, police cars were arriving on the tarmac by the field, their sirens mingling with forlorn cries and wailing. End of chapter 1. A note from the author. Twisted Roots was published by Wild Wolf Publishing and is now available to purchase on Kindle from Amazon. Alternatively, if you do not have access to a Kindle, you can purchase a downloadable copy from my website. The link is in the description of the podcast. I hope you've enjoyed joining me for this first chapter and that you return next week for the second instalment of Twisted Roots.